The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Well, if you think that the seagulls in the UK are bad, you have to see what the Jewish seagulls are like on the beachfront of Tel Aviv. Not really seagulls, but we have our own set of birds here, which cause their own problems.
Right, so, I'm sure they're very well fed and quite well fed and quite aggressive, no doubt.
Not as much as the jellyfish. Sorry, there's been a jellyfish epidemic.
Is it still ongoing?
It's an epidemic.
So Dina, you're obviously fully up to date. Absolutely, the jellyfish epidemic is subsiding. It's been one of the most severe attacks of jellyfish along the Israeli shoreline for quite a number of years. And don't forget that this is an annual event where the jellyfish move up the coast from the
So no one's taken responsibility for it.
From the mouth of the Nile. And they come and infest the Israeli coastline. It happens every year around this time. But this year in particular seems to have been pretty bad. But word on the street is, or word on the beaches are, that it's worth going back to the beaches again. The water is cleared up quite substantially, and of course the sand on the beach was pretty nasty with all these beach jellyfish everywhere, but apparently that's been cleaned up now, and within a few days I'm told that it will be safe for everybody to venture back into the water and onto the beaches again.
Amazing. The Arrow 3 anti-missile system was successfully tested yesterday in Alaska. Can we read anything into the timing of these tests?
Well, the fact that it happens to have come only a few days after the Iranians actually tested their missile, the Shahab missile that apparently can actually carry a nuclear warhead, of course, has got people talking a lot. The Shahab 3 is Iran's kind of premier missile that it tested last week, and which, as I said before, has significance because of the fact that it is capable of carrying a nuclear warhead in the event that Iran does succeed in producing one. But I think that this test of the Arrows 3 that took place over the weekend in Alaska was really planned for some time. This is not something that you could put together in a week or so in response to something that's happened in the Persian Gulf. So I don't think that the timing this particular week can really be considered to be something of great importance. But in general, the timing, of course, is of importance because Iran is increasingly seen to be a threat, and the Arrows 3 is certainly one of the main weapons that Israel has at its disposal in order to combat the threat that comes from Iran. And just to be clear, the Arrows 3 is an anti-missile system. So whereas the Iranians attacking weaponry and attacking missiles, Israel, together with America, including the Boeing Corporation and various other American companies, have come together in order to develop an anti-missile system. So this is a defensive system rather than an offensive system, and a very important defensive system because it's one that can intercept ballistic missiles. And in fact, the test that took place in Alaska took place out of the Earth's atmosphere. So a target was fired, which was supposed to kind of represent imitate the Shahab that Iran has at its disposal. And this was launched outside of the Earth's atmosphere. And the Arrows 3 anti-missile system was sent off to intercept it. And it was absolutely 100% intercepted, as Prime Minister Netanyahu said, metal on metal. So it absolutely intercepted the target missile outside of the Earth's atmosphere. And the significance of this is, of course, the fact that if it happens to be a nuclear weapon for any reason, that we want it to be intercepted and to explode as far away from us as is physically possible and outside of the Earth's atmosphere is, of course, the best answer possible. And as I say, it wasn't just that the missile exploded in the general vicinity of, and shrapnel then managed to somehow hit the target missile. No, it actually hit it nose on. So this is some amazing technology that's been put together by the Israeli Defense Establishment in conjunction with its American partners. And I think it's a great success for Israel. And, of course, there was a lot of backslapping and handshaking and celebrations when the results of the test became known in Israel. And, in fact, a video of the test was shown at yesterday's cabinet meeting that was held. And the prime minister was indeed very buoyant and very upbeat about it. And, of course, issued a veiled threat generally to Israel's enemies. But, of course, specifically, one can read into that he was addressing Iran. And this test had to be carried out in Alaska, because otherwise it would have had to have involved closing down Israeli airspace completely. And of course, a huge amount of production in order to make sure that this anti-missile system, both the target, by the way, as well as the anti-missile system that went into outside of the Earth's atmosphere, didn't disrupt anything in the process. So apparently Alaska was the best place for this to happen, and perhaps also answers why Israeli ambassador to the United States, Ron Dermer, was making these mysterious visits to Alaska last week. There was some talk about potentially him meeting representatives from North Korea. There was some talk about him trying to develop things on the Iranians' front in order to get some discussions, in order to get some dialogue together. But the fact that he happened to have been in Alaska, and these tests happened to have also taken place in Alaska, seems to come together rather than some of the other conspiracy theories that have been going around about Ron Dermer's trips to Alaska in recent times. But certainly this Arrows 3 anti-missile system is a very, very important part of Israel's overall security, and a great success in terms of getting this test underway and getting it successfully executed, in order to really demonstrate not only to Iran but also to the Israeli people that we have the wherewithal to withstand an attack in the event that it might come our way.
Mm, absolutely. Incredible story. Another story that I do want to talk about that has really, really bothered me, and even though the resolution to it, I think, is positive in many ways, it also, to me, is still problematic. And that is the story about 12 Israeli youths who have now been released from custody in Cyprus after being held on suspicion of rape. So just give us the backstory here, and so that we can just chat about it for a moment.
Yeah, so you're right, Howard. I mean, even though the story has resolved itself relatively satisfactorily, but it's not satisfactory. There's a lot of information that's come out in the story, which is very problematic indeed. The bare facts of the story are as follows. A group of Israeli friends who are high school students or just finished high school, many of them are just about to head off to the army. There was a group of 12 of them, as I understand it, decided to go off to Cyprus, which is only a 45-minute plane ride from Israel, and is probably a cheaper holiday than going to Eilat for many people. So this group of friends decided that they would go off to the Cypriot resort town of Ayia Napa, and they got themselves established in a hotel in Ayia Napa. And as young boys on the prowl, they obviously were looking for some fun. And the fun that they thought they would get came in the form of a 19-year-old British young lady, a British tourist on the island. And, of course, let's just be honest, Ayia Napa is a holiday. It's a clubbing sort of atmosphere. It's a place where you go not to have a quiet holiday, but to kind of live things up for the young people, to go to clubs, to go to the beach, to drink, and to do whatever you do there. And of course, they befriended this young British tourist, a 19-year-old. And what then transpired was that the next thing we heard was that she had reported that she'd been gang raped by this group of Israeli youths, by all 12 of them. That was her initial report, that all 12 of them had, one of them had taken her to a room. She did think, did seem to at some point indicate that the initial contact that she had with two or three of the boys was consensual, that she went to the room at least with one of them, and that while she was in the room, she claims that they pounced upon her, or the rest of them pounced upon her, and that a gang rape then took place. And there was evidence in the room to prove that sex indeed had taken place. Condoms were found lying around the room as evidence. And so these 12 boys were all arrested. They were held in custody in Cyprus during the course of last week. And they all claimed that they were innocent, that whatever had happened there was consensual, and that no rape had taken place. And in fact, it was claimed that many of them had footage on their phones, which they provided to the police to show that whatever was happening with this young lady was all consensual. And so this was the standoff. It was a he said, she said type of arrangement, or in this particular case, a they said, she said type of story going on. Until on Friday, it was announced that 5 of the 12 boys would be released because their DNA was not found on her anywhere after she'd undergone DNA tests and things like that. Their DNA was not found on her anywhere, and there was no evidence of their involvement in anything that she had claimed. And they were released to come home on Friday, leaving another 7 in custody. And the Cypriot authorities then extended their remand in custody. They were being held in different places. And then there was a dramatic development yesterday when the remaining 7 were released and they were allowed to come home. No charges being laid against them at all. There are no restrictions on them whatsoever. And then it became apparent that the Cypriot police were charging the young lady for lying about her story, that apparently this was all a concocted lie. The current version of the story that we're hearing now is that she had agreed to this group sex arrangement, whatever was going on in that room. She knew that there were videos being made. She knew that all of this was happening. But at some point, she had some regret. And then she decided that she was going to lay rape charges against these boys because of the regret that she suffered. That's the current version of the story. We haven't heard directly from her, but this is at least what the Cypriot police are talking about and letting us know is the current situation of the story. So while, of course, the families of the boys are very delighted that they've been released and they're coming home without any stain on their reputations, and there are, accusations and threats that they may well even sue this young lady for each day that they were held in custody for each of them, and, you know, we'll have to see whether that actually transpires. But they've come home and they're free to conduct their lives as they would want. Many of them will be going to the army now. But of course, it does raise a huge question about the behavior that went on in the first place. I mean, obviously,
so that's my,
this didn't
exactly.
arise.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
exactly.
I mean, this
so that's what I was wondering, Anthony. Has there been,
right?
Obviously the initial reaction is one maybe a little bit of celebration to say, well, thank goodness these kids weren't criminal. And there's a very big difference between what I think is immoral behavior and rape. There's a very, very significant difference. But once this dust settles in terms of the rape allegation, do you think there'll be any introspection from Israeli society at all to say, I don't know, this is just what is happening to our kids, that between 16 and 18, this is deemed acceptable behavior on some level?
Well, I think there's a lot of introspection. I think that this kind of activity is very, very common. You see Israeli kids as young as 15 and 16 and 17 years old going abroad on their own without supervision. Clearly, this is the kind of activity that they are seeking, that they get up to, that they will get up to. There is a certain reputation that the Israeli youth have about going to places like Cyprus and Turkey and elsewhere and causing havoc and you know, wrecking hotels and behaving badly and doing whatever it is. I mean, there is definitely a reputation that they have for this. Mm. And, you know, their behavior that we've seen here is not exactly of the highest standard, let's be honest. You know, if this is what they wanted to do, they clearly got it, but they got a lot of trouble with it. And I think that a lot of the youth will now have to turn around and say to themselves, if this is what we really want and this is the way we're going to go about it, then we need to be ready
for
whatever the consequences
and
are.
And parents and educators, knowing that this is the level of morality that some of the youth have succumbed
Unfortunately,
to.
This is the case, and it's not only the situation for Israeli youth. We see it also with the European youth, sure. British youth and others. Many, they're just emulating what is effectively going on around the world, not only in Israel, but clearly this is a moment for introspection for parents, for educators, for the youth themselves to be thinking about what it is that they get up to when they go abroad. They represent Israel, they represent themselves. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they could potentially get into trouble inadvertently for bad behavior. And so, this is really a lesson. So it's good that the rape allegation at least has been put to bed, at least for now, as far as we know, permanently. But I don't think that that's the end of this particular story.
Yeah, I certainly hope not. Your news is slightly late. It is 8:01. But I think that was an important conversation just to continue. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. I'm Harold Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 High FM.